wafting across the pastoral vistas of the new basement studios by the lake, this is the Atlantic Voice Podcast, 3,000 miles of opinion.
This is Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zeph.
And I'm Eric.
Down in the new basement studios by the lake, our Saturday show, we do have...
beer.
Some beer, but we'll get to that in a moment. But obviously, to set up the show, we are going to do the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Well, talk about it. We did the test.
We have done the test.
But we haven't revealed the results.
To ourselves or each other.
At this point, nobody knows what it is. So, yeah. Well, I bet you some people know what it is. But
we'll get to that. So we're gonna do that. But first of all, we have a couple
of cans. Since it's a Saturday evening, I picked up, we may have talked about this before, it's James River Bitter. So it's a Richmond, I think it's a Richmond-based, certainly Central Virginia-based brewery. They make a ESB, and so
extra special bitter.
When I bought that at Dominion Wine and Beer, which, by the way, anybody who's in the area, they've now opened a wine and beer bar. In addition to being a place that you can buy beer from, it's now got an upstairs with a bar and food and everything.
Oh, really?
And it's packed, everybody's there, because they have all these tastes of beer, and they must have about 30 different types of beer on tap at a time, and you can get them in like 4-ounce tasters, this kind of taste, and they get lots of interesting beers. But in any event, because they're open late to like 11 o'clock.
But I didn't mean to cut you off. So is it, even though they're doing food, is it set up like it's a restaurant, or is it set up like more like a bar/pub?
Bar, pub. It's a very light color. They don't want to do like a late night crowd. So they're closing officially at 11. I think they have some flexibility. But they're really trying to be more of a place to taste wines and beers, and you can have a few, but
like cheese platters and stuff,
but because the upstairs is open that late now, the store is now open that late. So when I left the last weekend, I was there with a friend, and I left at like 10:30, and I said, I'm going to buy some beer on the way out, and I bought a 6-pack of the bitter. This is all a long way of saying, the guy was like, oh yeah, he was giving me kudos for not just going for the hoppy IPA stuff, but rather going for something a little bit more interesting.
Only a 6-pack then. I take it you're not being nominated for the Supreme Court. Ba-boom.
There you go. Yeah, so I like beer. Yeah, lots of I like beer things. Nominated, confirmed. Right.
Well, who knows by the time you hear this.
I have an Alpha Ox, which is Old Ox Brewery in the North Virginia, Ashburn, Virginia. This one is a hoppy pale ale, not an IPA, but it's also what they call a session one. It's only 4.5% alcohol, so it's something where it doesn't completely wipe you out from having a few of them.
Okay, and so this, I've had one of these before, socializing with you. This is a River Runner Extra Special Bitter. And so it's a traditional English-style pale ale. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to note, for those of you, if you're into beer, you probably already know this. If you are casually into beer, you probably don't. IPAs and traditional English pale ales are actually two slightly different beasts.
Right.
And I say slightly because ultimately, to a point, all beer is the same. Beer aficionados are going bananas right now as I say this. But the kind of pale ale that you'd get in a pub in England is going to be more like a traditional English bitter, but probably lower in alcohol, more likely a session beer, because obviously we drink things in 16-ounce pints in England, and being in England, we're drinking at 11 in the morning and at lunchtime and all that kind of thing. So again, do not make the mistake of thinking, oh, I'm looking for an IPA and that says pale ale and that's going to be the same thing. It's actually not. It is less hoppy.
It's a different type of hops, with IPAs and things, you have a more aromatic type of bitey type of hop. These have like one of the hops in there is Fuggles, which is like you never see, like whenever people do the IPAs, it's like Citra and Mosaic, which are very powerful types of thing. A Fuggles more subtle type of flavor and has a more of a malty type of taste to it.
Obviously at that moment, a slightly darker color. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking brown ale or Guinness, but we are talking more deeply golden than a lot of pale ales that, to me, if you put them on the table, along with a very traditional Pilsner or German lager, you can't always tell the difference with some of the newer IPAs just visually looking at them.
The big famous, I had ESBs way back when it was just Fuller's. You got your Fuller's at the places that would carry it around to you. There was a couple places in Charlottesville. So, but anyway, have that. And so cheers.
Cheers. Sorry, I was going to start glugging away. Yeah. And it always reminds me of the pub back in England.
Exactly.
Because that's what I'm. That's what you're drinking back in England. Yeah, thank you. I am comfortable. Because then we're going to hammer my personality later.
Exactly.
So it's going to be good that I've had one beer.
So we're talking about the Myers-Briggs. People call it the Myers-Briggs test. Technically, it's not a test. It's a, what does MBTI stand for?
Type indicator.
Type indicator. And so what this is.
And it's interesting that it's Myers-Briggs and not Briggs-Myers. I typed in both, but
it's actually, I think it's officially written as Myers and Briggs.
It's officially Myers and Briggs, right?
Right.
So no, it's not Briggs and Myers.
Right.
Which
right.
it should be if you go in alphabetical order.
Well, wait a second, and I'll explain to you why it's actually called that.
Yes, go.
Because there's a little kind of a loophole here.
Yes.
So anyway, what is it? It's personality test. There's a number of them around there. This is kind of the granddad. Zeph's just realized he's missing something, and so he's getting up. This was invented by a person in the 40s. We're going to talk a little bit about the person, and it is designed to determine what kind of personality type you have, and the idea is nothing is bad. Right, like that. There's some people who are this way, or introverted, or extroverted, or people are analytical, or more intuitive. There are people who have like a logical, people who like schedules more, kind of organize themselves more, and there are people who are more spontaneous. And so it has a series of four dichotomies. Actually, let me tell you a little bit more about the background of the person. So the reason I was alluding to this Myers-Briggs. The main person who promoted this, her last name was Myers-Briggs.
Right.
Like, so it wasn't really two names originally, although her mother really kind of invented the test, and she was just a, I forget what she is. She was a Briggs? Yeah, she was a yes. Biggs, I should say. A Briggs, no.
This is Briggs.
With an R. So she was, and apparently the test was originally started, and I'm getting a bunch of this information off of a couple of articles that were run. One was on The Ringer, and one was in The Guardian. There was a book that came out partway through the year, about back in May.
Yes.
By Emery Merv or Merv Emery? Anyway, the person who's a professor of over at Oxford is a professor of English, wrote a book called The Personality Brokers about the history of this test, you know, what it says about businesses and things, because the big user of these things is corporations analyzing employees. So anyway, the test started with the older woman who I think she had – the daughter was born in 1897, and so we're talking about in like 20s, 30s or something like that. She created this test. She was a big fan of Carl Jung.
That's right.
And he had a book in 1921 talking about personality types. She was observing that her daughter – fiance at the time, and never mentions whether she got married or not, he was an unusual personality type. And so she was trying to figure it all out and why this person. And so developed
I think test. They got married depending on what his score was. Right. I think that's what it
well,
was.
Well, there's no score. It's no positive or negative. It's what is it? How does it match up with things? So she had created the test, and apparently for a good number of years, it was like a family thing that you would do.
Right.
So you'd run the test. Ooh, what are you? Yeah. What are, you know, that kind of thing. It was ultimately her daughter, though, in the 1940s or maybe 1943, I think, she started realizing, I think I can make a buck off of this.
Yeah.
And so she promoted it as a test for corporate employees, big companies, also the military. It was used in CIA profiling of their potential spies, and was Station S. I don't know what Station S is. You know what that kind of stuff is from all your
– Was that the one where they were – it was the movie with them. Was it the movie with George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats?
Yeah, it could be.
It
like
was
that.
All part of that with right, ESP and the power of the mind. And so they were attempting to figure out that if you were ES, if you had those abilities, then the notion was that
this test doesn't test for that.
Yes.
There weren't any questions.
I think
about
the NFL
that.
Use it. It's very, I don't know if they still use it. It was very famous that pro sports teams, when they draft the guys out of college, they put them through a barrage of tests. And this is one of them to see if. What the person is like.
We'll talk about it in a second about the types of personalities. Apparently, by the 1950s, there was a book that came out that suggested 60% of corporations were using this test, and they still do, you know, for figuring things out. A lot of times they talk about like, well, we're not really going to slot you into a spot based on that, but, you know, we want everybody to self-realize what they are, their strengths, weaknesses. Maybe they can concentrate on their strengths. Maybe they want to improve their weaknesses in terms of how it fits into the corporate culture. Apparently, to this, they now do about 2 million tests per year. it normally costs $50 per test. It's very, you can't do an online version of the test, I don't think. Although I saw something that said maybe they recently, like traditionally they did not allow that because they're really trying to control it. So every time I've done it, it's on paper, and basically once you do it, you can't like do it again, and you can
they make do it.
You,
well,
they the, make you take the questions back.
You can do it online, but it costs $50 a pop.
Okay, so that's
and because
new.
It costs $50 a pop, I did not bother to sort of figure out exactly what
well,
the online
had
a, test meant.
You had an inside angle.
I went ahead and had an inside angle, and I just grabbed a whole of the templates and a whole load of copies of the questionnaire and all that kind of right. thing. Which is old school, but also $100 cheaper for the two of us.
Yeah.
So if anyone from Myers-Briggs is listening, I don't know what to tell you, but we've beaten the system.
Okay. Back a little more to the history.
I don't know how that's going to
so
reflect
this woman
in my
goes around promoting
cheap.
It.
I don't apparently, know if that's one of the personality traits.
Apparently this woman who promoted Isabel was kind of a weirdo. Like there was one mention that her favorite drink was like milk, chocolate, brewer's yeast, and some other weird ingredient, which she thought was some big powerful like nutritional supplement or something like that.
It's Ovaltine.
Apparently a lot of people didn't like her very much. One of the book sounds kind of interesting. Maybe I'll read it, but I never get around to books.
No.
But basically was suggesting, well, the person who authored it was initially inclined to like really take it down, like because there's a lot of psychologists who say this is useless.
Well, that was the thing in researching it was I remember, and I know we're going to talk about as we get into the actual test itself and we sort of reveal our results to each other. You know, I think, you know, you've said you've taken it before. I remember taking it 14, 15 years ago, just sort of as a lark. And I still have my original test sheet there. I pinned it up on my notice board mm-hmm. at work, just on my own personal notice board type thing. And I actually, there was a part of me that almost wanted to look at it before this show.
Right.
But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And now there's a part of me wishing that maybe I had it.
I
might have been interested to see if it changed.
Because one of the things the psychology people say, apparently even the Myers-Briggs people say, like half of the people, if they take the test again, will shift in one of the criteria.
Exactly, yeah.
And there's degrees of, well, we'll talk about
that. And we'll talk about that when we actually get into the test. Because I do find that the test, it is one of those things that depending on, you know, how you look at one of the questions or depending on your mood, I can easily, because it's a, you know, it's an A or a B type thing.
Right.
It's going to be one or the other.
So what's interesting is, so like all it is it only took about 20 minutes to do, is 93 yep. questions. There's a block of questions that are A's or B's, like, would you rather, you know, like if in a social situation, do you feel better with these people? You do that, whatever it is. There's a big chunk in the middle that are just like, what word do you prefer?
Yes.
You know, and it has a series of words. And then they go back to like the regular question type questions. I think when they normally administer online, I think they mix up the question. I mean, they have more than just that list of questions.
Oh, they do?
Like the exact same set of questions. But here, because we were doing the exact same exam, we had the same set of questions. But we're going to talk about some of the questions. Anyway, so circle back to the types. So
the whole point of the test, it sort of judges or analyzes whatever word you want to use. And I do, again, we're having a bit of a laugh with this, but I do want to be careful when I throw those sort of terminologies around, because as you said at the top of the show, there are no sort of right or wrong answers. It's about just sort of classifying you. But it does look to classify you in, is it four?
So it's four, they call them dichotomies.
Right. Because,
so basically there's four different dichotomies that they have, and you're going to be one or the other. You're not going to be like, you know, like there's when you hear people rattle off their type, it's always a four letter item. And the different items, we'll go through them briefly here in a moment. They you come out between the two, and then so it makes for mix. It's essentially at the end of the day 16 types of people based on this, and so it categorizes the people. Now, it despite the fact that everybody just rattles those off, there is a gradient measure on these items that you can be heavily one or the other of the pairing, although most people don't differentiate. And like
that's the criticism,
oh, people aren't all one. But like, I think the test kind of acknowledges that, just that people don't talk about it that way. So for example, not to tell what particular things I had, but on three of the dichotomies, I was clearly into one category. On another one, I'm just marginally into category. And I could see if I took the test again, I might be marginally into the other version.
And that's the thing. I think, again, a lot of what I'd read about the test, I read some things sort of about the test in terms of what other people think about it. And there was this sort of, there is quite a strong conventional wisdom that it's all kind of slightly BS.
Yeah.
In terms of most sort of personality analysis, in that you can analyze it as you want to analyze it. But to be fair on the test, because it's breaking down into, you know, a couple of different areas, and realistically it will say if you lean that way or if you heavily that way, the mistake isn't in the test, it's how people then refer to it. Right. Because immediately people put you into, it doesn't matter if you're in, you know, if you, you know, it's like, you know, it's like playing tennis, the ball's either in or out. But in real life, do you know what I mean? If the ball's halfway on the line,
there is a final answer, but it's something that's closer to out and is a better or worse shot, as the case may be. So at this point, I don't, for lack of a better place to put it in, I need to give a shout out to Stephanie, my coworker, who is an expert in all these things, like to the point where she can just talk to people and kind of knows what they already are and how they fit into these things.
Is she XCIA? They should call her.
And believes. Not so much that it dictates what you should slot into, but the people in different categories tend to be different people. Like, so we're both at the same
place of work, okay?
You know, the and so different people in different categories have a tendency to play different roles in the type of work we do. And she's always thinking about how these different parts work. So because both of these articles were about the book, and the book is semi-critical of the of the stuff, I was kind of ribbing her a little bit by sending the articles to her, and I didn't want to shatter her worldview of like these things being.
Oh no, but she's got your personality pick.
She gave me
your tea for troublemaker.
The formal booklet from the Myers-Briggs Foundation Introduction to Type in Organizations, and has pages and pages describing of these different categories. And if we get that far, there's even like, once you have your category, there's some other like secondary kind of measurements that are kind of interesting.
Well, because here's the interesting thing too, to talk about the actual, again, we did it on paper. So our sheet was basically
a Scantron type thing.
So it's a list of A or Bs. But on the sheet that I got hold of, and I'm assuming this is the standard sheet, the first thing you're actually supposed to fill out is your career area or field of study. So I think the point I'm going to make right there is, to a large part, in terms of what you just said, businesses use this, and this is now, as a small business, it's making its money primarily off business.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Business, because, like, so I think the version I had seen didn't have that stuff. I have a feeling that the version we have here is from a school, and so therefore the questions are tied around like self-discovery of kids and what they might be better suited to. Like, the questions are the same, but you know, the idea is that they put that stuff in there because it feeds into sort of the way the school might use it, kind of thing. Whereas if you're at a business, now, all that said, like I hear about all these businesses, I've never once, even when you look around online, heard a story of somebody who got passed over for a job.
Excuse me, it says here labor, trades and services, plumbing. So I'm not quite sure
how some people go to school and end up being plumbers.
No, what I was going to say is, when we get into the test, I'm not quite sure how anything in the test I've just taken is really relevant to plumbing.
I can tell you.
Okay,
all right. It's about plumbing. So anyway, so let me run through the four dichotomies and give people a kind of a sense of what goes on between the two.
Okay.
So the first group is, they call it energizing, orientation of energy. This one, I don't like that caption. Doesn't seem to make sense to me, but what it talks about is pretty obvious. It's called about extroverts versus introverts. So the notion is,
how do you project your energy?
They're saying it's where you get it from, so the folks who are an extrovert, you know, they're obviously dealing with other people. They have an outside thrust. They talk and thoughts out. They have breath, they involve with people and things, they do a lot of interaction, whereas a introvert is more oriented towards their interior. They pull their energy out of their own internal thoughts rather than what's being fed out of different things. You know, so effects of like, so preferences, and this is in the work situations, like an extrovert will tend to like to talk about a bunch of different ideas, will love a big, you know, meeting with a bunch of people, whereas an introvert wants to have some private space to sit down and figure out what they want to do and make a plan and come up with their own ideas without like bouncing around 20 around a room. Interestingly enough, back to the history, it was class up through the 50s and 60s, being an introvert was considered a strength for working.
Really?
Because the idea was you were thoughtful and you would figure things out. And what happened in the 70s and 80s and thereafter was where the extroverts got sort of promoted more. And it's because they were an extrovert in the 50s and 60s was considered a little bit superficial.
Right.
You know, like kind of like a party person or something like that. Whereas the extroverts then became like the leaders and the promoters and all that sort of stuff. And
pushing,
so you tend to think of
the envelope.
There's a bunch of other letters, but like E's with a bunch of other letters we'll talk about are considered to be the CEO types nowadays. To me, that this is just telling you that like what happened to society, like where, and I'm giving away the fact that I might be one of the other, okay. but it basically valued the sales or the promotion over the actual thoughts behind it.
Because I want to say this right now, we also have predicted for each other we would get, and we had to write out our prediction before, and then we both went and took the test, so we will reveal that at the top of the show.
See how well we know each other. We can do it after we reveal our actual
sales. Okay,
so the next category, next dichotomy is called perceiving perception, and this has two groups called sensing and intuition. And I never had a great feel for what was different, but when you look at the categories, the notion is a sensing person will be practical, orienting around the facts, like how they perceive the world is very much based on like, what do I see in front of me? You know, is this useful? I'm using my five senses. Where an intuitive on intuition, by the way, these letters, so extra introvert or EI.
Right.
So you always have a first letter is that. Perceiving is sensing, and because I is already taken, they use N for intuition. So those are folks who kind of they learn new skills, they think intuitively, they may be getting obviously presented with the same set of information from the world, but the way they perceive it is based on something in their head that says, I think this is the right answer, not like necessarily all just basically based on facts and analysis. In terms of the workplace, you know, the sensing person likes to use experience and standard ways to solve problems. They like to apply the skills they already have and the like. An intuitive person likes more new and complex problems and the challenge of learning something new. They may overlook facts, but they don't overlook insights, that kind of thing. The next group, the next dichotomy is deciding how you make a judgment about things, and T or F, thinking or feeling, whereas a thinking person sort of has a logical system. It's weird because a lot of these things tend to like sound like they correlate, like sensing.
Right.
It seemed to me to be like outside sense, but there are definitely differences, and I know I'm different on those two things. Whereas the thinking person is trying to come up with an objective answer, you know, use principles and reason and the like, whereas a feeling person talks about their value system, their heart in it, the subjectiveness to it, mercy, you know, harmony, empathy for things. And so they're basically making their decisions based on those kind of values, whereas the thinking person is making their decisions more based on more cold, hard facts.
I must say, I tended to, in doing my research, I was very much finding myself falling onto the side of, ooh, this is all slightly hokey. And you can move stats, and it's that old thing about statistics. You can make them say whatever you really want them to say, depending what you want to say. And I did, and I do find that this is the category that ultimately, in real life, forget the test.
Yeah.
Thinking and feeling is quite a nebulous area.
Right.
And so attempting to identify within a person what is the key to how they make sort of their thought process, I found, right, extrovert and introvert, that's quite clean. And what I mean by that is we can go into a room and we can identify people at a gathering and sort of go, well, that dude is this and that dude is that. Do you know what I mean? And we could probably be quite accurate.
Right. Like, yeah, you can but see it on a you person. Can, you where can maybe see, you it, on a see person. It on a person.
But in terms of attempting to identify, you know, I look at it, you know, a bit like a, you know, thoughts a bit like a river. And what we're trying to do is find like its starting point up in the mountain. But I think thought and feeling, they're both very different, but are also quite interrelated and mixed up. And I find that within the test, that's the area that ultimately would probably be, I guess the most controversial, if you scored someone one way and they were like, no, I'm not that sort of person. I can see individuals, that would be the one part of the test where individuals go, I don't buy that.
Yeah.
I can
buy it. A number of the questions, and we may reference some of the questions, I found them interesting because they're clearly driving at some of these things, but they ask you like what you'd like to be like. You know, like they're basically saying, would you prefer to be complimented for this or
well, that's the thing.
What your goal is? And so it does get a little confusing because you go, well, wait a minute. Is this testing what I am or what I wish I was?
Well, I want to come back to that part of it when we actually, because we're gonna pull out some of the questions and sort of go, ooh. Yeah. Does this reflect what I mean? But why don't you finish with the categories and then we can go back on the test.
I don't think I have to talk about this.
You haven't talked about Jay and...
Yeah, so I was going to say whether to talk about the business parts, but that part's pretty straightforward. So living is the last category, which they parenthetically call orientation to the outside world. In any event, it says the two dichotomy items are judging Jay or perceiving P. And so a judging person is... decide about information, regulate, control, they're settled, they run one's life, they set goals, they're closing things off, they're organized. Whereas perceiving person is like more flowing, adaptive, tentative, they'll let life happen to them. A lot of the questions on there were like, would you rather have a schedule or would you rather just take it as it goes kind of thing.
There are a lot of questions that are sort of riff on that theme about do you like to be organized and scheduled or not?
Yeah, they tend to be flexible, seeking options and the like. And so you could see, you know, where the... It's pretty easy to see how those would play out at work, where like a judging person is good at organizing. They have a project. They organize their steps. They come up with decisions to be made, or like, here's the things I need to cover. Whereas a perceiving person wants to be more flexible and they can jump into a task and basically say, hey, I'll figure out what the parts I need to do as I go along kind of thing. So as a result, you end up with, you know, the various parts. So like the 16 people, and so they're all given little names like ESTP or ISFJ or INFJ or things like that. And then when you then take those people, I skipped over the preferred methods of communication. We can only talk so long about these things. Then you have these groupings and they talk about this, and then there's analysis for any one of those 16 types about how we fit in.
We'll get to that when we do our results,
we'll talk about some particulars. There's even within that, like those are the 16 types, but they have other categorization where they basically say there's a preference grouping by quadrants. I don't know why they call it that, but like that just does a score just based on the first letter. So like an IS is considered a thoughtful realist. And IN is considered a thoughtful innovator because they're being, you know, like S is the more I'm going to deal with my senses. N's do intuitive and more, you know, come up with my own ideas. The ES is so extroverted, sensing. They're an action-oriented realist. And then an EN is an action-oriented innovator, as you can see. And like, so there's some broader categories. And then they have like different temperaments. There's guardians, artisans, idealists, irrationalists that are based on like subsets of those. Like, in other words, they're groupings that are bigger out of the set. So some of the 16 fall into the same grouping. There you kind of have it there. There's a whole nother level about order of preferences. When you take any one of these, if you're introverted and then your next category kind of ultimately makes for an order of like the way you'd conduct yourself.
Oh, see, I didn't know that you could order the category. Well,
it's kind of weird. At first, I thought, okay, this is like a whole separate evaluation where they get it. But what's really saying is based on what you are, like, so to pick a number random, if you're an ISTJ, it means the sensing, that's going to be your first priority. Then your next is going to be thinking and then feeling and intuition. Okay. And so like for every category, they have an order and it's just the same. Like, it's not another variable. It's just a way of saying a person who's introverted by nature will go to one of the other things first as a priority. And then like it kind of ranks them. And the idea being is, you know, here's your strong suits or how you deal with things and parts where you might have, like, it basically ranks them through four and the fourth is like basically weak.
Yeah.
And like, so it's kind of a, hey, maybe you could work on this piece of yourself. I think, I think that kind of covers most of the stuff. Got all the information. Yeah, well, I think, you know, there's so many categories. I think we will talk about, by the way, I didn't mention this to you beforehand, but I have a page that talks about celebrities and famous people who are in a category.
Oh, okay.
So in addition, yeah, once we figure out our categories,
I want to see who I match up with.
Then, hopefully we don't end up being the same category, because that would be very boring.
I doubt that somehow.
I don't think that's going to happen, but then we'll talk about both what these categories are and talk about famous people.
This is what I'm saying. If you want to do this at home, it's worth doing this, and then you can do more than just share a birthday with a celebrity.
Right.
You can be like a celebrity.
I am like that celebrity. So... should we...
Why don't we talk about the test itself a little bit then? In terms of some of these questions. So, you know, as my partner said, it's 93 questions. You do them on a Scantron. The first 26 questions are basically the overruling, the over-the-top, the instruction is, which answer comes closest to describing how you usually feel or act?
Right.
And even right there, I understand where the critics... I get where the critics of the test are coming from, because even that statement itself, you're putting people into a... You're asking people to make a definitive A or B, when I would imagine most people are like, well, sometimes I'm this, sometimes I'm that.
Right.
So, for example, the very first question, would you go somewhere for the... When you go somewhere for the day, would you rather A, plan what you will do and when, or B, just go?
Yeah.
So...
You can see how that's going to feed into that last category, I assume, although I never looked at the matrices to figure out which parts it's doing. But
well, so here you go. I'm going to pick a couple of other questions, and I'm intentionally going to skip over some of the cleaner questions. And what I mean by that is, so here's a question here. Are you usually A, a good mixer, or B, rather quiet and reserved?
I put that one on there, and I put duh in the margin, because exactly. I'm like, okay, isn't that introvert versus extrovert? Like,
So here's a question here now. And again, this is under the section, which answer comes closest to describing how you usually feel or act? Are you inclined to value sentiment more than logic, or value logic more than sentiment?
Great.
So even right there, I understand where the critics are coming from. You're looking for hard and fast answers, but even the question itself says, well, are you inclined?
Right.
Which basically right there concedes that we're not all one thing or the other all of the time.
Right.
In that section, I did, going through, there are a couple of questions that I just sort of ticked, like, ooh, this might be interesting to talk to. Do you prefer to A, arrange dates, parties, etc. well in advance, or B, be free to do whatever looks like fun when the time comes? I actually really struggle with that question, because it depends. If something's really exciting, I want to plan it out in advance and make sure it's all locked down.
Right.
But if I've planned something out, but then you call me up and go, hey, we're leaving in 25 minutes for something that's like, wow, that's brilliant. Then all of a sudden, am I A or am I B?
Right.
And so that's why I find...
Just have to choose.
Yeah.
One of the weird things about the online knockoff tests... is they give you gradients. Both of the two online versions that I saw, they weren't A's or B's. They were like agree, strongly agree, or things like that. I imagine that's because if they get too close to the actual test, they probably get in trouble.
Well, because there isn't, because the other one is called, I know one, the one other one I know is called 16 personalities.
Well, and there's 16 personalities.
Yeah,
and that's the same thing.
But it's not the same one. And of course, I nearly said, if I couldn't have got hold of this, I would have told us to do that one, because you can take that one online for free.
Yeah, like, so like the one that's the 16 personalities, you find it difficult to introduce yourself to other people, and it has six different and a central. Like, I guess you could basically say, whatever, I'm in the middle. So it's agree, middle, lower agree, and then, you know, low disagree, you know, seven different answers. The other one I have is the online answer is uncertain, yes, no, or yes and no in capitals. You know, so again, they're creating some gradients. Again, I imagine this stuff is heavily intellectual property protected.
Yeah.
And sure, you can use the test, the types, because maybe that fits into Carl Jung stuff, but you can't really take the exact same test and just steal all the questions. All right. So, you know, and then I had one of the same ones marked as you.
I have some other ones marked, but go ahead and throw in some of the ones.
I was going to mention, so
marked.
The second bucket, there's three sections, and the second section was the words one I mentioned. Which word in each pair appeals to you? Think about what the words mean, not about how they look or sound.
Right at that moment, again, I lean on being the cynic, although I'm sure that when we look at my results, it's going to be, wow, that's who I think I am.
Yeah.
I lean on being the cynic, and this is the section which is the biggest section of the three sections. It's 46 questions. You're given two words, and you have to, which word in each pair appeals to you more?
Right.
Now, those six words there could mean different things to different people. And what I mean by that is that who you want to be?
That's kind of confusing when you say that, because we just talked about two words, and then you said which six words.
I'm sorry.
Well, I didn't even know what you meant. What you mean is like in the sentence.
Which word in each pair appeals to you more?
Right.
Well, why does it? But the question to me is, why is it appealing to you? Does it appeal to you because you think you're that person?
Right.
Or does it appeal to you because you aspire to be that person?
Right.
And even when I, even when I started going through 46, I guarantee, because I had to do it 46 times, I'm sure I made a couple of answers based on either what I wished I would, who I wished I were, or yes, I know I'm definitely that person. So right there, because there is a different mental process for how you are coming to your answer, well, that would call into question the veracity of the results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think even the question to me is sort of slightly vague.
Yeah, well, but I guess at the end of the day,
what I'm saying is you could have said, which word do you believe applies to you?
Right.
But they purposely don't say that.
I think, yeah. So,
do you know what I mean?
I have another one on here. Here's the categories. Just rattling off the first few, the word pairings. The first one was abstract versus solid.
Okay.
One was scheduled versus unplanned. Again, on our thing. Gentle versus firm. The one that kind of cracked me up was thinking versus feeling. Well, considering the categories T and F, isn't that exactly the category item? That said, who knows? I mean, I haven't looked enough at the answers of anybody's analysis. Is it in fact scoring that just as, if you pick thinking, then you're a T? It's clearly a whole bunch of other questions that amass into there.
Yeah, I mean, I marked out three pairs there that I thought were interesting for different reasons. So there's one that's, which word in each pair appeals to you more, production or design?
Right.
And there was a part of me there that when I came across that one, it immediately spoke to my sense of competence, but also my sense of, I don't know, I came to that question, I'm thinking, if I put production, am I just saying that I'm a doer? Because at some moment, design, well, I'm three-flowing.
I suspect that's the choice between sensing and intuition.
Okay.
Just because I know that whenever people describe the intuition side, it's like ideas and pulling things together and coming up with innovations, whereas the sensing is like, hey, what's in front of me?
And there were two.
That's what I'm guessing.
There were two others. One was, which word appeals, objective or passionate? I found that really, really hard.
Yeah.
I went back and forth on, which one am I? Because in my mind, I'm kind of both.
I should mention Zeph finished like 5 minutes before.
Oh, yeah. I just rattled through it. Yeah.
So like he acts like he was caught up in these things. He clearly didn't spend that long a time.
But there are two others here that I thought were interesting. And this one I thought was an interesting comparison. Practical or sentimental? And I found it interesting that those two were put together. Because I kind of feel like, I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Do you remember what you ended up preferring?
No, I don't. I can look on my sheet.
I was practical.
Okay. Well, there's another one. Okay. So are you convincing or touching? Are you hearty or quiet? Okay.
Hearty, quiet threw me for a loop because I thought those aren't like...
See, I thought it was pretty clean.
I like both. Like hearty... I mean, being hardy. I think I ended up picking hardy because I picked quiet in some other context when there was a different pairing. That's the whole point.
I thought of a large jolly man with a beard.
Yeah, hardy.
Hey, ho, that's
like a
what
meat
I thought
kind of thing. Yeah. Exactly. Hale and hearty,
But yeah, so, for example, okay, there are some that seem really simple. Impulse or decision. Okay. Yeah, I get that. But I found practical and sentimental an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I found that an interesting comparison. And like I say, I really struggled with objective or passionate. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I couldn't decide if... And this is my thing here with this whole section, which is the bulk of the test. I'm answering that one, and when I am I answering that one in the same way that I might have answered one of the others in terms of
I think it's really
why
half.
Does it appeal to
it's
me?
It's the longest list, but because the other, the first and this third are really the same kind of tempo.
Okay.
So I think it's about
but
half.
But still, yeah, so it's about half. So again, that's that. So that's the middle section.
Yep.
And then the last section.
No, the last section. Isn't the last section the same as the first? Or maybe I didn't read it closely enough, but it's basically still choosing between.
Yes. Yeah. It's another 19 questions, which answer comes closest to describing how you usually feel or act.
Right.
And I, you know, again, I marked out at parties, do you sometimes get bored or always have fun? And I'm thinking,
that
well,
one, like, it's hugely variable.
That, it could
that
be all over like, the place. Yeah, you could be all over the place.
I can definitely have fun at a party, but boy, if you get stuck in one you don't want to be
but
at.
But you know, so, yeah, that's what I'm about to say. I challenge anyone out there who tells me that they've never been to a party.
They should say, sucked. Is this a party that I that I wanted to go to, or is it a party that my significant other wanted to go to?
So maybe the question should be, before you go to a party, are you deciding, are you going to have fun or are you going to bored? So
I try to have an open mind about that, you know.
Oh, there you go. You see, and I think that's in the middle section. Do you have an open mind or not? So there you go.
Let's get to some results.
All right, let's get the results.
So what do you think? Should you tell me, would you lose your page with your results?
No, because remember, because I kind of like came across all this stuff, I got plenty of copies, and so.
All right, well, then I'll start with mine.
I've got mine now.
Okay.
I have my prediction for you, and then I also have. I also have what I am. So how do you want to do this?
Well, here's my... I'll do my prediction for you first, and then
okay,
we can move
and then
on
we'll
this.
Go straight to what mine is then.
My
me first.
Yeah, my prediction for you, and I'm most confident about the middle numbers, but the middle letters, is an INFJ. And I have the N and F I'm pretty certain about. The I, I'm middle, and then J is the one I'm most uncertain about.
Well, I'm clearly an I. I'm clearly an N.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting, the T and F, I was a T by a big margin.
By a big margin, all right.
Yeah. And the J and the P, my score was, my two scores were almost, there was only, it was 12 to
and
10.
And what'd you end up being?
Well, I guess, you know.
Are you going to end up being a J?
I'm an I, N, T, J.
Well, we screwed it up then.
What do you mean we screwed it up? What do you mean? You didn't do this? Wait a minute. We screwed it up because
well,
the
we
test
didn't, we
come
didn't screw
out
it up. It's going to make the podcast less interesting. Other than the fact that your margins are definitely different. Like, so you're basically saying you're marginal between the J and whatever the other
one is. I'm marginal between being a J and a P, but the other ones I'm relatively clear.
Relatively, although the N, you're a little bit more mixed.
Yeah, but still, okay. It's mixed, but 60 to 30 mixed.
All right, anyway, so what's your prediction for me?
Okay, my prediction for you was, what was your prediction for me?
An INFJ.
So you were pretty close, though.
Well, but you're F, you were not at all close to being an F.
No, but you got the three other categories right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I predicted you to be a TISP.
That's not a thing.
Oh. Yeah, it is. Sorry, so I'm sorry. I predicted you to be an ISTP. Sorry, I put them in the wrong order. Let me put them into the right order as it's on the test.
ISTP.
An ISTP.
Well, at least I was closer than you were, because I am also an INTJ.
Oh, wow, we're the same person.
But here's where it's different. Here's where it differs. So, like, by the way, so this is where the gradients come in. So,
why don't we explain a little bit how these scores are collated in terms of the fact that...
Right, so, like, you put this little grid over your A, B answers.
But, I mean, we're
and
talking...
And you count up how many fit in a category, and then you put the numbers that are I's and the number N's. No, sorry. The first thing is I versus E, and you put the number that's in each of those categories, introvert or extrovert. And so then, basically, whichever is higher is what you are, but like then they say, okay, one can be slighter.
I want to give the listener an example. So I'm an I, so right. The option is extrovert or introvert, but I'm an I, you know, we've in the last few minutes been talking about how I'm clearly an I. When I say I'm clearly an I, my score was 19 to 2.
Right.
So
right.
I only had, so out of 21 questions, deep I only had, I. So I'm a deep I.
Right.
So when my partner and I are talking about, yes, slightly or clearly or whatever, that's what we mean.
Right.
But you end up having a score in each of these categories, the two categories against each other. But like I say, I have a category later, the J and the P category, where it was 12 to 10. So you could make an argument. I mean, I easily could have been, if one answer switches over, then I'm neither one or the other, or I'm a blend of both.
Right, so right, right. So
that's what we're talking about in terms of clearly or not quite.
By contrast, for me, while I was also an I, it was a 13 to 8. So it was closer. Like I fall into the category of slight to medium. Basically, slight ends at 13. So basically, I was still in the category of slight. So I'm an I, but I'm not super deep in I, which is by contrast to everything else, all the other categories, I only had two in the off numbers. So everything else, the N and T and J are like home run NTs and Js.
Okay.
So that's this is probably really boring to people because they don't know what the categories are, but let me come back to the, I guess.
So we're starting there with introvert and extrovert. So we're both clearly introverted.
Introverts. You're more introverted than me.
Oh, I'm all the way in. And you know something, all those questions about, do you get bored? Do you like talking to other people? I'm answering this thinking, oh yeah, I know exactly who I'm at. Like there is no question. If I'm dragged to some party, I am looking for the food or the exit or the toilet constantly.
Whereas I'm.
So if you know me, and you see me at an event shortly, just understand that when I'm talking to you about your family or your holiday, I'm looking for the food, the toilet, or the exit.
I would have thought you'd been closer on this because I certainly see you get drawn out relatively easily. You're right. You don't just jump in there and kind of talk about it. I'm more marginal.
I'm a classic example of an only child.
The introvert extrovert thing is very much for me what you we're describing in terms of sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. So like there's some context I tend to like in a working situation, I'll like try to get acquainted with people. I don't like immediately go out there and put myself out there, but then once I've kind of got comfort with a group, I'm fine.
And that's the thing. And you touch on something right there. In general, and you always have to put yourself in a situation, if you're with strangers, are you? And yes, I'm an I. But if I'm sitting around with 20 people who I know well, yeah, I'm more than happy to be the life and soul in the party. So I guess, does that make you introverted? I guess, because you already have to have a comfort level.
I mean, see, the one thing is it sort of simplifies, because again, it's about where you get your energy from. And so it's not necessarily like, oh, do you talk to people or not talk to people? It's more like, where are you getting your, which energizes you, to use the cheesy phrase.
Oh, I energize me. Oh, yeah, I don't have any doubt about it.
All right, so the next category was perceiving.
I'm all about me.
Sensing versus intuition. Again, I'm a 24 to 2 for intuition. Like, I'm amazed at these numbers. Because I would have thought I'm kind of fact-based, but
okay. I was 16 to 10, which is still a pretty clear win.
Solid.
And I guess to be fair,
the N and the T are the ones I was pretty solid with you that you were going to be like N's and T, that you were an imaginative person. You come up with new ideas.
Did you predict me as an IN? What did you predict me
as
again?
I said INFJ.
INF. Okay.
And the N was like, I was certain you're going to be an N. The F.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I was pretty certain.
And to be fair, this is one of those things now. If you're an I, then the odds are you're an N. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think that's true.
But I think so. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I mean, you got no facts to back it up.
But put it this way. If it's sensing or intuition, yeah, I'm not sensing anything because I don't care about you because I'm an I.
Yeah. All right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
So the next category of deciding being judgment. This is the one where I got you wrong, where I thought you'd be a feeling person with value, wrong. Heart, subjective, mercy, compliment, harmony, empathy, compassionate. Whereas the other side is very like objective, justice, reason, things like that. I felt like you get driven more by feelings of what people should and shouldn't be doing more than just objective facts.
This is where I'm going to make a point about the test.
Way wrong on that, because you were like a 20 to 4, I was a 20. 2 to 2 and you're 24 to whatever.
But to be fair, when I was taking the test, I was suddenly very, I'm middle management.
To be fair.
Let me just say this. It's just the way to kill 5 seconds. Let me get it. In real life, I'm middle management. And what I mean by that is I do deal with people quite a lot. And I do find when I was answering questions that later on when I'm marking, I'm thinking, yeah, those questions are going towards this. There were moments when I was answering questions thinking, well, should I answer this as who I am at a party, or should I answer this as who I am in a workplace? And that's why I thought
it was... I mean, whatever it was, so you ended up very concretely in one side.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing, because I do think I don't...
I've heard some of your work stories, and I've always felt like, you know, when you've had to deal with this stuff, that... you were not simply making fact-based determinations that you were like, no, you know, there's an empathy degree.
That's why I'm surprised that this one is so, I mean, it's right. It's
you
24.
Scored it, right? Maybe we need to go back and rescore it.
Maybe I scored
it'd
wrong.
It'd be funny if we checked afterwards and it turns out this is all wrong.
I'm surprised that I was that way, but my only explanation I have to that is I do have two slightly different personas. I have my persona, you know, around the house, socially, and then I have a professional persona that's slightly different. And, you know, I think all of us in a professional setting, you go there and it's about your work. It's not necessarily about you. Whereas in a personal setting, it's about you, your personal relationships with your family, your friends. And so right at that moment, I was very conscious of the fact that I myself might have a slightly different persona when I'm on the clock, so to speak.
Right.
And so, it's interesting. Your prediction for me, if you'd said to me before, I predict you to be this way.
You wouldn't have argued it. I would have gone, okay, I get it.
So I'm as much surprised by this result, and I'm surprised by the margin of the result.
You may have to change jobs or something.
Yeah.
Last category of living, so judging versus perceiving. Judging being like you want to control, settle, run one's life, set goals, close, organize. I think that's all the scheduling stuff is coming up, whereas perceiving is, they just kind of flexibility and role. And this was the one I was least certain about you, so I feel somewhat vindicated because you're only a 12 to 10 marginal. You're
10.
Barely.
I could have been either side.
Whereas, again, I'm so schedule driven, it's ridiculous. I'm a 20 to 2 judge on the J side. So, like, you're so I feel vindicated in the fact that was the factor I was least confident
what
in.
Were you,
for
what
you.
Were you in reality?
What do you mean?
No, what were you? What's your actual score? Oh, we haven't done you yet, have we?
Yeah, no, I'm INTJ.
I'm the exact same as you.
What do you mean? We did that already.
Wow. So I got you way wrong.
Yeah, you had two factors wrong. I had one factor wrong.
Yeah.
So once again, I've won something. But,
yeah, he's true. But I always lose these competitions.
I'm surprised by the degree by which I got one of them wrong because I was confident in the one that ended up being 24 going the other way. I'm somewhat vindicated, on the other hand, by the fact that you were just 12 to 10 on the one that I was least confident.
I got it right, but I also vindicated you because, to be entirely, we're making serious of something light or vice versa, depending how you look at it.
Yeah.
I answered this very much, again, and we're going back to this T versus F, because you know me in a personal or not business situation, you saw me as an F. Whereas when I answered the questions, I kept putting myself in my mind in terms of, not how am I with my friends.
Well, to be honest, I basically picked that based on the stories I've heard about your conflicts at work. So I wasn't really picking on a personal thing.
There you go.
So we should get into what the overall description of categories, and maybe we could do what we predicted people us like. Is this way we just don't do one. We can talk about what we predicted each other to be, for contrast, and maybe people will say, oh yeah, it does sound more like Eric or Zach.
Okay.
Anyway, INTJ. So which is what we end up being is called the title is Introverted Intuition with Thinking. INTJs are independent, individualistic, single-minded, and determined individuals who trust their vision of possibilities regardless of universal skepticism. They enjoy working by themselves or in projects that are complex.
Yeah, I'd give you that.
I go with that.
Yeah. You know,
like, the thing is, all these things are nice at the end of the day.
Yeah,
all, like, and almost any of them might be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'm that, too. But I...
Because, again, you know, if you said to me... If you said to me, read it again in terms of what I was. Determined.
Yeah, individual, now, like single-minded, determined.
Now, again, determined. Sure, I'd like to think I'm determined. But if you give me the option of doing something or sitting around watching TV, I'm going to sit around and watch TV. But when you make me do something, I'd like to think I'm determined.
Right, so let me go over a couple of positive contributions to the organization. Provide theoretical insights and design skills. They organize ideas into action plans. They work to remove obstacles and goal attainment. They have strong ideas about what the organization can be. They push everyone to understand the system leadership style, drive themselves and others, and attain the organization's goals. Act strongly and forcefully in the field of ideas. They can be tough-minded with themselves and others.
Yes.
Blah, blah, blah. Preferred learning style, individualized, reflective, intellectual, theoretical, problem-solving approaches. We want to use our internal vision of strategies and structures, which we've objectively determined. So that's the N feeding into the T.
I'm definitely
intellectual. So, like, basically, you're taking objective
far
stuff.
Far away, that's me.
And that you said, we don't need to talk about it for potential pitfalls to find the negatives.
Ooh.
May appear so unyielding that others are afraid of approaching or challenging them.
Hmm, that's interesting. See, I don't always believe that.
Yeah, may keep that. Well, see, because of course you're not going to acknowledge any pitfalls, right? Like, I have no flaws.
It's interesting. No, but can I say, I have one rule. Anytime I've been in a group setting, I've always have one rule. That, like, for example, if I'm in a situation where I'm in charge, I make the other people, I tell them, I want you to propose the opposite to me at all times so that we know that we're looking at both sides of things.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, you're getting all the facts. That's the, you're gathering the facts. Right. See, that's where it isn't that you're making an intuitive decision based on gathering real facts, I think.
But am I just gathering the facts to keep them happy and then we're just going to do what I say anyway? Yeah. That might be it.
So, by the way, brief moment to apparently.
All right, so who else
George Clooney's an ENTJ.
Oh,
so,
forget an ENTJ. Who else is it? Is it, who else famous is an INTJ?
Because this is Jay-Z.
Okay, let me write that down. I'm Jay-Z. Who's he?
And by the way,
to? Beyonce.
So all these things about the categories, like the celebrities. It's not like these celebrities took the test. It's like basically somebody's assessment of people. I think. I mean, maybe they took the test.
Okay,
but number of them are too. Like one of the INTJs is Karl Marx. Well, I'm pretty sure Karl Marx didn't take the test. So you know, because
I did one of the, I did one of those online what's it tests, and someone said, "Yeah, you're like Albert Einstein."
So there's a short term for all it. The INTJ is the strategist.
Ooh, yeah, I like so. I like to look a couple of steps ahead.
So the INTJs are natural leaders, although they usually choose to stay in the background until they see a real need to take over the lead. They're the supreme strategist, always scanning available ideas and concepts.
I like that, supreme. I'm just going to write that word down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm
supreme. The other ones are Mark Zuckerberg. Who is like, he's not a flashy leader, but he's clearly a leader. He's thought this through, came up with an idea.
If you watch that movie, he's a bit odd.
Radio inventor Nikola Tesla. Of course, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger is apparently an
I'm a big Arnold fan. Yeah, I like Arnold.
Let's see. There's multiple celebrities.
So Arnold and Jay-Z.
INFJ. Sorry, these pages are too long. Here's the INTJs. Jane Austen. Elon Musk, supposedly.
He's a nut job.
Hawking, James Cameron, Russell Crowe.
So that's
Isaac
us?
Newton. Yeah, that's INTJs. Ooh,
but this is the iffy list, though. So, for example, Elon Musk, he's clearly all over the place. Russell Crowe, he's not everyone's cup of tea. I mean, I don't have a problem with these fellas, but... But I think Russell Crowe is also a Leo. I'd like to actually now do on a different show, match up these celebrities with their birthdays to see if, in fact, if we just have the same birthdays, though.
So here we go. Again, like, I'm sure all these articles are stealing from each other.
Sure.
So this is a different one where they pick up some of the same people. Jason Bateman, Jodie Foster.
Oh, I'm a big Jason Bateman
Patrick
fan.
Patrick Stewart, although in another thing, I saw Patrick Stewart in another category. Colin Firth.
My mom lives not far from Colin Firth, for whatever that's worth.
Julia Stiles. Ayn Rand.
It's kind of cute.
So
Can I say this? I'm looking at these. Patrick Stewart, big fan, and I'm really pleased to be the same as Jason Bateman.
Yeah, yeah. No,
I can't get over that. I'm being Jason Bateman, my secret male crush.
Let's talk about what we thought. I had predicted an INFJ for you, right?
Yes.
So an INFJ... Introverted intuition with feeling. INFJs trust their visions, are compassionate and insightful, and quietly exert influence. They enjoy working alone or in incompatible small groups, using their inspirations, people's growth and development. So actually, now that I read this, I think you are more INTJ, but...
I don't know. See, you just read that, and I'm suddenly thinking... Maybe I should inspire to be an IN. I'd like to think of myself as an INFJ.
Exactly.
But again, you're not going to have to show me a celebrity that trumps Arnold and Jason Bateman.
Yeah, IN.
Because I'm going to decide what I... Was that Jennifer Love Hewitt? Because I want to be whatever category TSA. She is. Oh.
She's an INTP.
That's what I predict. No, I didn't predict you to be that. So who's an INT...
What is INFJ, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Because, and again, with four different categories, the combinations are all over the place.
INFJ. Is that what I said you were?
Yes, INFJ.
That is the defender.
No, it's ISFJ. That's ISFJ.
That was a good thing, because that was going to be Kanye West.
And he's about there.
Oh, Lord. killing me.
All right, so 16, the 16 personality types.
Yes, IS. IS.
Not George Clooney, unfortunately.
He's an extrovert. INTP is an engineer.
Because the trouble with all these celebrities is they're all very, very successful. There and so
INFJ, that's what I said.
Okay. Right? Yeah, that's what the you said confidant. I was. Okay.
And Kate Blanchett, apparently, because I got her picture there.
Okay, we have discussed her on the show.
INFJs are gentle, caring, complex, and highly intuitive individuals. Only 1% of the population is INFJ, making this the most rare of all types. So, yeah. Kate Blanchett, Mahatma Gandhi, Daniel Day-Lewis, Thomas Jefferson, I don't think he took the test either, and Ron Paul.
Is that the younger one or the dad? That's the dad. Rand Paul is the younger one. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. All so right. He's that.
See, I'm a bit unhappy now because really I'd like to be I'd like to have been the
but
most
you're not even
rarest
to
of
if
the
you're
categories.
Close to anything, you're close to an INT
I'm an INTJ.
You're close to be an INTP.
Yes. That's actually what I should be.
Right.
By my own. And so that would be let's have a look and see who that is. Let me turn that around so I can scan around while you look at your thing there.
Well,
I'm trying to think who I'm nearly.
INT.
Ooh, Bono. I hope I'm not in his one.
Wait, INTP.
I'm close to being an INTP.
Which would be an engineer. That's the Tina
Fey. So that's Tina Fey. Okay. I mean,
they live in the world of theoretical possibilities. They see everything in terms of how it could be improved or what could be turned into.
Ooh, Albert Einstein. I took one of those other tests. It sounds like Albert Einstein.
Larry Page and Sergey Brin from Google.
Yeah. I don't know. That's. I mean, to all be right. fair,
so
I,
what was it you predicted I was going
to
be?
To be honest, I don't want to be at that table. The function.
What did you predict I would be?
I predicted you to be an ISTP.
ISTP. It sounds like a internet protocol. IS.
Again. Oh no, that's a no. That's ISFP. I mean, at the end of
ISTP.
Oh my, craftsman.
Craftsman.
Oh, there you go.
Which IS.
So why is there an Ashton Kutcher?
See the easiest and most expedient route to completing a task, and they do not waste their effort on unnecessary
things. Oh, this
things.
Is a great list for you. Look, Steve Jobs is on that list.
Ashton Kutcher, Clint Eastwood, Dalai Lama,
and
Steve
Vladimir
Jobs,
Putin. Look at that, Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Thankfully, he'd be adept at tweeting out all the good stuff if that crowd get together.
yeah.
But again, as we get towards the end of the show, here's the interesting thing about the test, to come back to the criticisms. Once you are classified a certain way, it is human nature to start looking, and you go, oh yeah, I'm that person.
Yeah.
And in an interesting way, are we who we think we are? Or are we who we predict other people to be? And what I mean by that is, ultimately, the person you think you are, does that really matter in terms of who the person other people see you as?
It's really complicated.
There you go. Look at that. Like that's deep.
Sounds like a craftsman's analysis.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's deep. That's deep thinking. That's more than that test can do.
Let me see.
Does it have anything in terms of what sort of professions and stuff we should
no,
be in?
No, I mean, you know, it's just about how you interact with people. It doesn't have your job kind of stuff. Let's see what our friend Stephanie was. She's the investigator, ESTJ.
Oh, yeah.
So, let us know if it's the same as you had last time. It'd be interesting.
I need to do that. I need to go look at the one I did 15 years ago.
Mine is lock solid, same as I've had
really?
Before. Yeah.
Interesting.
I do, in fact, remember that first number between extrovert and introvert was close, though, and the other ones were home runs. So you can see why the home run ones
I'm going to check my board at work and see what it says from 15 years ago. I do remember when I did it. Because I'd not heard of this thing, and someone had made me do it and said, oh, you should do this for a laugh. And then when they gave me the sheet and said, this is what you scored as, I was like, oh, wow, that's me. And I thought that was interesting, and that's why I pinned it up on the wall. If I'd come out as someone else entirely, I would have thrown it in the bin and gone, this is nonsense. You know, where's the... Right. Where's the insensitive part of me?
To be honest, I look at it, and I don't... Pretty fitting, particularly with that first one being borderline. When I thought I had forgotten the first one being borderline, and oftentimes when somebody said introvert, I'm like, I don't think I'm really totally introverted, you know.
It's a bit depressing the way the same person, you know?
It is, and really, I'm surprised, actually.
I'm surprised.
Don't people think we have a different personality?
I think
there are a whole bunch of other you know, you had sent some things over about other types of personality tests. And there's many other ones that do these things. Some of them are total garbage. Like, there's ones on the internet, like, you know, that you just plug in some things. I don't mean that it's bad because internet, but because it's like, it's pop culture type stuff.
Right.
There, but one of the ones that is the more notorious ones currently is Cambridge Analytica, you know, got in trouble, is this analysis company that was basically profiling people off of their Facebook, like Facebook was offering, maybe they were offering or whatever it was that somebody could do, hey, do a personality test. And Cambridge Analytica was taking that information and matching it up with people for political purposes to try to figure it out. Now, the one thing, the article I read about it said, on the bright side, it's as likely to be wrong as right. Like, you know, so it really, it's not like based on the test you took on some Facebook app somewhere, you know, Farmville or something like that, that it literally has pinned you down and now it's figured out who you're going to vote for. But that's, you know, there's a lot of nefarious things.
And frankly,
things
with Facebook having 50 million passwords stolen, our advice to you is don't take one of these.
One of the reasons I like these things done, because you could see this company collecting the data and, you know, tying it into names or things. Like, if you go online, I wonder whether, because I think they email you the result.
Yeah.
And so I don't recommend anybody go do the online one then, because you've now just handed
over. Plus it's $50.
You've handed a profile data over to somebody who's now going to be able to associate it with your name. And maybe that's not getting used today, but, you know, as computers and artificial intelligence get better at analyzing data, you know, maybe you're not going to be entitled to drive a self-driving car or something, or be in a self-driving car because, you know, you're the wrong type of person.
Well,
or they're going to change your insurance rates as a result or something.
My hostility at dropping $50 each for the two of us to the tune of $100.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's enough insight to your personality.
Yeah, that would make me an INTJM, which is a bit of a minge bag. So there you go. That was the I want to keep calling it the Briggs-Meyer test, but it's not. It's the Meyer-Briggs test.
Well, now I've already got it.
Yeah, that's what we established at the top of the show. So there you go.
MBTI. That's the thing that have the registered trademark.
There is the Myers-Briggs test for you. If you want to email us with any of your own results, if you've done this, but in the next show, we'll look at my results from 16 years ago and see if I have grown as a person.
Yeah.
But until then, I can have my secret stalking male crush on Jason Bateman and Arnold Schwarzenegger. This has been the Atlantic Voice Podcast. I'm Zef.
And I'm Eric. Take care.
You've just enjoyed Eric and Zef on the Atlantic Voice Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @Atlantic_voice. You can find the show at Libsyn.com, iTunes, and of course at AtlanticVoice.net. Email us at AtlanticVoice@gmail.com. And now on YouTube, search for the Atlantic Voice. The Atlantic Voice, 3,000 miles of opinion.